The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Great Thursday. Thanks for being with us. We have a busy show. Jimmy Vaccaro will come on board at 10:35. Goody at the movies at 10:50. If you're just finding us here in this new year, as people apt to do, trying new things out, welcome on board. We tape this every day just after 10 o'clock. We shoot for 10:06, unless I get stuck in a traffic jam on the 101, which happens occasionally. So Jimmy Vaccaro and Goody at the movies. Last night, I attempted to take in some of the Suns game, but I just wasn't interested. I wanted to see the Embiid against Ayton show, and instead, Joel Embiid had 30 in the first half, so I didn't even finish the game. I didn't need to finish the game. Final score at this point to me, because the Suns are going nowhere this year, they may try to tell you they're going somewhere this year, but they're not, okay? This is not turn it around overnight social media sensation. It just isn't. Very few games here in the rest of the season. We only have, what are we at? January 3rd until about April 15th. We only have 3.5 more months of this stuff. So it's just trying to get in position to get another top pick overall so they can take a player from Kentucky or Duke. That's it. So I got through some of that last night. Started paying attention to the playoffs in football, and that's why we'll have Jimmy on. We're going to talk in the next segment about Pac-12 and a memo that was released, and the Pac-12 hiring a PR firm to try to turn around the perception of the Pac-12. Let me tell you something. It's really simple here. All you have to do is get rid of your network or redo your network. This is it. Now, they're paying this PR firm, could be north of $4 million. John Cannizzaro, great columnist in Portland, had all the details. This PR firm, they suggest getting a comedian and doing an online series. They suggest forming partnerships with the Players Tribune and the LA Times. This is all written out there. And it's, none of this addresses the fact your network does nothing. Zero. Your best basketball team in the Pac-12, and those of you that are U of A fans, you're not going to like this, okay, but so far the best team I've seen in the Pac-12 is Arizona State. And yeah, they lost to Princeton, but they beat Kansas. Arizona State, as they open conference play tonight, has 10 of their games, 10 on the Pac-12 network. Not CBS, not FS1, not ESPN, not ESPN2, not even ESPNU. 10 of their games are going to be on the beloved Pac-12 network that nobody sees. Eric can't see them.
I get so excited, Brad, when the games are on FS1 or ESPNU or any of the ESPN families. Because I was like, yay, I can watch AAC basketball. And then it's like, oh, it's on the Pac-12 network. Okay, well, I guess I'll just follow it on Twitter.
So tonight... Followed on Twitter.
Well, I'll be at the GCU game, but yeah, I will. That's true, yeah. I will be following on Twitter.
The Pac-12.
I just moved. Did you see me, Brad? I just went from the lower part of.
Like, do that again.
I just went
do that
from
again,
right
Devin.
Under your.
Do that again, Devin.
Left armpit.
Go ahead, yeah.
To right on. Over your.
Go now,
left shoulder.
Go under me now. Go where the microphone is. No, yeah, that's no, cool. Now go no. up. Go up, go
yeah,
keep
put
on
it
the
right
left.
Over Brad's face. That's perfect.
There you go.
Hi,
right
my name is Brad Sessmatt. I'll be hosting the show today. Yeah, no.
That's pretty good. All right, get out of here, you dopes. No, let me bring Eric back here for a second, though. So if I were to tell you the Pac-12 in the month of December went 38-36.
It's not good. I did read the article, too, the PR firm article. And it's just, it's shocking.
It's stunning.
But it's not shocking. Does that make sense?
Yes.
I mean, you and I, Brad, celebrated the big hubbub of when Larry Scott was hired, and
he took us on a tour up there.
So many great things, and he did. He really did. Like, when he was hired, like, he transitioned out of the Tom Hansen into the new modern era, and there were all these different ideas, and they moved Pac-12 Media Day, and he had some great concepts, but it's been a slow decline. and the product hasn't been good. I don't know how the Pac-12 won three bowl games this year. Honestly, I don't know how they did it.
So Eric and I, in 2012, we first started this, and we're saying, you know what? We could provide content to the Pac-12. We could do some shows down here for the Pac-12 Network. They need it. I talked to Larry about it. He says, you need to go up there and visit. Go up there and visit. They give us a tour of all their facilities. And in that tour, remember that tour?
I do. In great that, location, by the way, right?
Great,
the heart of San Francisco.
Right in the
so
heart
cool.
of San Francisco. In that time when we did the tour, I had one alarm bell go off where they had these little studios. This may not mean anything to you guys, but I think if you hear me out here, they had this little studio that Eric and I could go sit in. And in this studio, they could put up a game. They could put up Colorado against Oregon State basketball. And they would go put the announcers in this little studio in San Francisco rather than at the game. So, and they said, well, we'll put a coach on the phone and a player on the phone, and they'll do all their prep work. We don't need to send broadcast crews out to games. This may not mean much to you. To me, it was just like, you got to be bleeping kidding me. You're going to try to go this route and cut corners on your content. Cannot cut corners on your content. Whatever business you're in, I'm sure you're always looking to save dimes and quarters and pennies. But if you're not going to put out the best product, in particular in the world of entertainment and broadcast and sports, it's not going to go well. And so I remember leaving that meeting. It was like, okay, that just doesn't work for me. If Washington State is playing Arizona State in women's basketball and the announcers are not going to be in Pullman or in Tempe, what are you doing? So, you know, it's just one of those weird deals. Our opening comments brought to you by Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most. And when I say do it with life insurance, it could be all sorts of financial products. I've had a couple people call me because I recently got licensed. You know, when I sit here and I talk about Sagicor or any brands that are part of what we do, and they say we would like for you to be a spokesperson for us, I have to use them and consume them. For 30 plus years I've been in this business, I've had plenty of people come over and say, we'll give you a check and say some nice things about us. Like, I'm not going to say nice things about your frozen peas or whatever it is. It's not happening. So in the world of Sagicor, I started to see where financial planning and what you're doing with your money, it's very important, especially for guys that are busy like you in sports. People that are consuming this show typically work, are into sports, no kidding, are really about their finances. They make good money, or they're about to, or they have made. And so what are you doing with it? You know, you got to protect what matters most. If you didn't come home tonight, is everything handled with your family? I'm meeting with a guy this afternoon. Calls me, and he's been in the business a long time, and he wants to get together and just figure it out. When the market tumbles like it did a couple weeks ago, you know, there's a lot there that you can get into. It's Sagicor Now. You can do it in the privacy of your own home. Just log on, you know, take your phone and type on in Sagicor Now. Just, you know, do it. All right. Sagicor. We appreciate Sagicor and their support. The Cardinals don't have a coach yet. We're going to go through this exercise. If we're doing this exercise probably 2 weeks from now, I'm going to be irritated. They can't be last again when it comes to their search for a head coach. Adam Gase is fine. It's a fine name. And oh my gosh, look at what he did with Ryan Tannehill. And whether he likes Josh Rosen or not, depending on who is on Twitter or who's writing what, I don't know. I don't care. There's some interesting names to me that are out there. Zach Taylor is interesting to me. He worked well with Jared Goff. Zach Taylor is meeting with the Denver Broncos today. And we can go through all the names. I maintain this. I said on the TV show this week, this is a good job. If you're one of those that doesn't like Michael and the Cardinals, I make fun of them, and there's things about them I don't like as an organization, but there's nowhere else that's going to have the number one overall pick that has a running back, that has a quarterback, in my opinion, that has some good defensive talent, that has cap space, that has a top waiver pick, that has a lot of good things, a lot of selling points to free agents. The stadium is a great selling point to free agents. There's people that are freezing their tails off in certain parts of the country. We don't do that, although today we did a little bit. It's kind of the weird way it worked out. All right, we'll take a quick break here. On the other side, I want to circle back further on the Pac-12, how the Fiesta Bowl did in ratings. where the Fiesta Bowl is in terms of future, and some college football. That is next. I'm Brad Sussmat. So I have Jimmy Vaccaro here in a few minutes. We'll talk about Alabama and Clemson in the national championship game and the four playoff games this weekend. Before I get into this Pac-12 story, on the business side, so the Fiesta Bowl ratings came out. Fiesta Bowl had about 8.5 million viewers. The Rose Bowl had 16 million, so almost twice the audience. The Sugar Bowl had 13.3 million. So that game actually held a pretty good audience, which I thought it was going to tumble out of sight, but people did watch and consume Georgia against Texas. What's interesting about the Fiesta Bowl is the places that watch the game. Phoenix was not in the top 10 in terms of places that had the game on television sets. Now, is this a surprise? It's New Year's morning. Do we all really have ties to Central Florida and LSU? No, we don't. The Fiesta Bowl may want us to believe that the game really matters here locally. It's nowhere near what it used to be. It just isn't. I mean, you can go all day long and try and tell me that it's that big of a deal. The number one rated market to watch this game of TV sets on was New Orleans. It's not a surprise. Number two was Birmingham. Number three was Orlando. Orlando, Central Florida, New Orleans with LSU. Phoenix is not in the top 10. Atlanta is number seven. Greensville, South Carolina made it. Market like 250, I think. So, yeah, 8.5 million viewers on New Year's Day morning. I would like to get a true number. I've asked some people to get me that number of what it was like here in Phoenix. But this game, in this new alignment, when it's not a playoff game, or the if it's not a semifinal or final game, it's just become another game. If you take the audience of the people that went to the Fiesta Bowl and the audience of the people that went to the game in downtown Phoenix that they now call the Cheez-It Bowl, and you combine those two audiences, you're probably right around 60,000 people between the two games, which is not even equaling one Fiesta Bowl back in the day. Yeah, things change. The bowl alignment has hurt this game. No other way to put it. No other way to put it. You know, the argument, I was talking to someone yesterday about it who's much smarter than I'll ever be in the sports world. This person, Eric, I'd like you to, if you got a thought on this.
Was it me that you were talking to?
It was Devin. So.
Of course.
Nothing against Devin or Eric. But here's the thing. This person suggested that if you eliminate the conference championship games, so no more Pac-12 championship being played in front of family and friends in San Francisco or Big Ten title game. If you eliminate those games, and then you have the bowl games, and then you decide who to vote on for the final eight or final four, whatever direction you decide to go, that would be a much more equitable way of having a playoff and determining the best teams. I happen to agree with this.
I kind of do too, actually. Although I think the championship games you need to have.
Really? Why?
Well, you know, back in the day, there's a reason why the Big 12 added a championship game, because they didn't want two one-loss teams to essentially take themselves out of the four-team playoff.
Right.
Like in 2014 when Baylor and TCU were 12-1 or something and neither team made it. That's why they...
He's still bitter over this, why, by the way, just so you guys
I should
know.
Be. That's why they put these championship games in place.
Yeah.
And the Pac-12 just doesn't do it right. I mean, you look at some of the other, like the Big Ten, they play in Indianapolis, they get a huge crowd.
Mm-hmm.
The Big 12, they play in Dallas this year, they had Texas OU, it was a good game, they had a huge crowd. The Pac-12 plays it in a neutral site in San Francisco, which is not a real football
They need to move that game to Vegas.
Bed to
they need to move
with.
That game to Vegas. It's pretty simple.
That would make sense. Or just let the home team host it. Just let whoever has the best record.
I'm not going to lose sleep the first weekend of December if on a Friday night Larry Scott on Fox doesn't have Washington playing against USC. I'm just not going to lose sleep over that.
And the top half of the Pac-12 outside of Washington State this year turned out to be a dog in bowl games anyway. I mean, Utah got
Huskies.
I mean, Utah got destroyed by Northwestern in the second half. Washington really got manhandled by Ohio State. I know the score made it look closer than it was, but that game was over. And it just is a bad look. I mean, here we are, Brad. Again, the Pac-12 not sending a team to the playoff.
Yeah.
Hasn't happened very much. I think it's happened once.
And next year, can you and I sit here and look at it and say, well, this team in the Pac-12 is going to go to the playoff?
No.
I don't see it. Did you see DeMarco Murray's going to U of A?
Interesting.
How about that story?
Trying to connect the dots on that, but I can't figure out why.
Let me connect a dot for you on
it.
Bijan Robinson recruitment. Now, Bijan Robinson, for those of you that don't know, I've seen Eric's film of him. You shot him against Dobson, which is like shooting him in a scrimmage.
And I saw him against Saguaro.
You saw him against Saguaro, and he had a good game. Bijan Robinson, from what I've been told, correct me on this,
okay,
best running back to come out of our state since DJ Foster.
I believe it.
Okay. Is he better than DJ Foster? Some have said he is. He's a once every 10-year guy.
Yeah, that's probably just the best way to put it. It's hard to compare greatness against greatness.
He's better than Kadeem Carey.
I mean, is Bijan Robinson going to play in the NFL? I don't know that. DJ Foster plays in the NFL, so I think Bijan has a chance to be a better college player than DJ Foster, if that makes sense.
Okay, but do you see where I'm coming from? DeMarco Murray can stand there and say, I've played at the highest level, and I've put up a lot of yards. I'm right here in your hometown.
Yep.
You don't need to go anywhere. Come, let me show you the ropes. I was a cowboy, right?
Yep.
So that was the one thing that I looked at, because DeMarco Murray can go into any home in Texas, which is where Kevin recruits. This came out last night. I think the Arizona Daily Star had it first. So DeMarco Murray is now part of that staff. I think that's a good move. I think it's a really good move. This story caught my eye before we get to the Pac-12, and that is PETA has now gotten involved in what was a piece of video that went crazy, went viral, as we like to say, UGA against Bevo before Georgia and Texas at the Sugar Bowl. So there's UGA, and he's staring down Bevo, and Bevo decides to go after UGA. Poor little UGA. Imagine if UGA had ended up on the tip of Bevo and gotten thrown around, because it came pretty close. And that photographer came right over the top. It's a note for you, Eric. Do not do the I'm going to turn my back on Bevo move to get the great picture. And they show this again, this photographer in the upper corner. Like, I don't know what they're thinking, but
when I was at TCU, Texas was so good, they used to travel Bevo to all the just regular road games.
Yeah.
So Bevo was at a TCU Texas game in Fort Worth. You do not realize how big Bevo is until he's like the size of a car, a small car. He's gigantic. And I thought this was funny only in a sense that no one got hurt. If someone would have gotten hurt, it would not have been funny.
No, but
imagine. It was sort of a preface to what happened in that bowl game. I mean, Texas pretty much just ran over Georgia. So.
And Georgia, everybody wanted to tell you how great they were. But so PETA has now gotten involved. Of course they have. PETA has now said, we want UGA and Bevo to be retired. This is not fair and humane treatment. Yeah, I'm sure Bevo is not having great treatment. I'm sure he's just in the back of some beat up horse trailer or cow trailer going places. No, I'm pretty sure Bevo's having a good life. Nobody's coming after Bevo to make sure he ends up on my grill at this point. I'm pretty sure that's how it works if you're Bevo. If you're UGA, is this really abuse? They put a cute little sweater on him and he's indoors for the most part. Yeah, he had to face down a 1,000-pound, 1,500-pound cow. Yeah, that's kind of inhumane, I suppose, if you're a dog. The person that's sitting there at PETA on the day that UGA and Bevo go viral and says, we got to do something to stop this versus, what was it, the rhino or the baby fell into the rhino pit on New Year's Day, or the lion that got shot 8 times before they had to put it down in North Carolina. I work with animals. Not now. I mean, you can call Devin and Eric and monkeys or whatever. I don't know. But no, I worked at the San Diego Wild Animal Park. I used to show horses professionally as a kid. So I have a deep love for animals. I'm not seeing these animals really torn up. All right, Pac-12. So among the recommendations by this PR group to the Pac-12, and this was released yesterday, and it's just crazy, conduct in-depth analysis of the influencer landscape to identify neutral to positive voices and systemically build relationships with these influencers to shift the conversation. Eric is a influencer around TCU. We need to get on Eric Sorensen's good side. We need to send him TCU gear, because then Eric will go on the air and say nothing but nice things about us. expand upon media partnerships with the Players Tribune and the LA Times. Identify new national partners to increase the national or the national and regional coverage. So the LA Times, like Bill Plaschke, who I consider one of the best columnists, I've known Bill, worked alongside of Bill, sat in press box with Bill. Bill's never going to say, you know what, I need to do a puff piece on the Pac-12 today. It's just not happening. Now, maybe some young, up-and-coming writers can be influenced by that. Gosh almighty when I read this stuff. And then enlist one of comedy's great coaches or fans to star in a digital series that addresses the challenges of last-minute schedule and late games in a way that honors a true commitment to the Pac-12 fan. Bill Walton, who I consider a friend, I've worked with, Bill, I think, is probably the best representative to the Pac-12 conference in his own way, calling it the Conference of Champions, even though it's not. Now, the conference has not said how much they're going to pay this PR firm to do these things. Guys, I'm not making this up. This is what the Pac-12 wants to do rather than, I don't know, win games. And I'll do a deeper dive on this after we get to Jimmy Vaccaro, which is next. Stay with us. So while we were in Las Vegas last month for the Vegas Bowl, I did swing by South Point. I did not see Jimmy Vaccaro, but I'm pretty sure I'm going to see Jimmy Vaccaro at the South Point Casino Resort when we go up for Pac-12 basketball, assuming the Pac-12 can ever get their act together. This is the time, though. If you guys want to have a party and a half, go to Vegas this weekend because, man, it's going to be big in the start of the NFL playoffs. And head over to the South Point Casino Resort. Jimmy Vaccaro joins us. Happy New Year, my friend. It looks like weather could be a factor in Baltimore and Chicago. And, Jimmy, I'm really liking some of these road teams this weekend. They're pretty attractive. Well, what do you make out of opening weekend from your view?
Well, thank you, my friend. It's obviously good to talk to you again. And yes, what a jammed up weekend. You know, we do so much business, Brad, even with the two games on Saturday and two on Sunday, because there's so much riding on. It's like, you know, one and done situation. And you are right. The three out of the four games open home teams were 2.5-point favorite. Biggest favorite was the Bears, who opened a 6-point favorite. A little money on the Bears. And the weather could be a factor. We're watching it like everybody else is. But the biggest move so far is the Ravens over the Chargers. That game opened up -2.5. We took a lot of money. We went to 3, went back to 2.5, and we're back up to 3. But you're right on the other ones. Colts have drawn some attention over the Texans, you know, enough to move it down about a half a point. And the Seahawks over the Cowboys, that seems to be the pick that I think most people are going to wind up. So I would suggest our biggest decision so far would be in the Raven game and be in the Cowboy game. But I can surely understand why the Seahawks are attracting all this attention.
Okay, I'm struggling with the Philadelphia Bears game because I don't know about Nick Foles' health entirely. Are you seeing that too?
Yeah, what we're getting is like the small stuff. It's all on the -6, but I'm sure out there somewhere there's a lot of people waiting to take the Eagles if it goes a little bit higher. Let's give the Bears credit, obviously, but it might be a slow track that day. It looks like it's going to be relatively cold, and the Eagles, you know, coming from that environment, it won't hinder them at all. But let's give the Eagles a chance. I mean, we had them dead and gone about 2 weeks ago, and here they are, and they're playing relatively well. But I would suggest that we're going to need the Eagles for a big bet here.
Jimmy Vaccaro joining us, South Point Casino Resort. It's always good to have Jimmy on the program. Battling defenses when you have a defensive-minded team in the playoffs. What's your view of these defenses in terms of low scores to be expected this weekend?
Well, we talked about it quite a bit in the last 2 days, and here we go again. Even with the playoffs where it's usually like a Woody Hayes, you know, 3 in a cloud of dust, only because trying to eat up clock, trying not to make a lot of mistakes. The totals are coming down a little bit, and understandably, first of all, we have the weather, and second of all, there is, even though the coaches or the teams don't like to talk about it, it's almost like a waiting out period, the first, you know, half of the first quarter, just like what's going on, what's good, what's bad. So we will have some money from what you say, the sharp people with the unders, but still there's always this thing with the recreational guy who loved to parlay their team and the over. So it'll be a little bit of a stalemate, but good for the bookmakers as we'll garner two-way attacks on the totals.
Make sure you go to the South Point Casino and Resort if you're going to head to Vegas this weekend because you have the national championship game. Before I get you out of here, Jimmy, Alabama, Clemson, what's the view in Vegas?
Big time game. We opened Alabama 6-point favorite. I thought that was actually a little bit low, but here we go. They've taken Clemson. We're down to 5.5 and 5 in some spots. Although, trust me, Saban and his crew will draw a lot of attention next Monday. Should be a great game.
Let's go off that, Jimmy. Happy New Year. Thanks.
All right, buddy.
Always good to catch up. Jimmy Vaccaro, South Point Casino and Resort. Yeah, weather this weekend. Let me, we have Goody coming up here in about 10 minutes. I guess I'm finding myself wanting to root for the Chargers. People ask me, well, you grew up in San Diego, didn't you root? No, I didn't. I never had a bone in me to root for teams. I don't know where it came from. I don't know if I just took this journalism stuff too serious as a kid. Did I enjoy watching John Jefferson with a one-handed catch shirt? I enjoy watching Kellen Winslow in Miami. Absolutely. When I worked hosting events, team stuff, pre-post around the Chargers, did I like the players? Sure, but you have to have your eye right down the middle. You do. If you're going to do this, and I know nowadays it's very popular to open networks, especially on the political side, where you just say one thing that's you're going to the base, and you're never going to say anything's bad, and that's just not right. But I am finding myself, and I don't know if it's getting old or what, but the Chargers, I'd like to see Phillip Rivers actually do something against the Ravens. It's an interesting game. If it's Joe Flacco, I'm asleep. If it's Lamar Jackson, I'm into this. If it's T. Sizzle and he's thinking about leaving the Ravens as a free agent, Terrell Suggs, that's kind of interesting to me. The Colts-Texans game, Andrew Luck's story this year has been as good as any in terms of coming back. Dallas-Seattle, I want the Seahawks to win all day long. The Cowboy fans are the biggest bunch of bandwagon jumpers ever. They just are. You are. If you're a Cowboy fan, you know it. It's always, we're the Cowboys. We got this all figured out. And Roger Staubach's he's not there. Tony Dorsett, he's not there. Drew Hill, he's not there. Drew Pearson, he's not there. Tony Hill, he's not there. Randy White, got it. Eagles-Bears, I kind of like to see the Eagles go away. Even though my friend Seth Joyner wouldn't like that. Back on this story with Pac-12 and crisis management. And you're wondering, why is he making such a big deal out of this on today's show? This story came out yesterday. I put it up on Twitter. You can follow it on my feed, @BradSusMatt. I think we even put it over on the 360 handle, @Sports360AZ. Because they have to go hire a firm to try to figure out what they're doing wrong. When it's really simple on this one, they're not winning. Why aren't they winning? The TV network is the root of the problem, in my view. How it's run, the way it's presented, and the fact you cannot get it anywhere. A guy like Eric will watch all day long because he's totally into that space, but he's not going to go to Cox Cable and pay an additional on top of his DirecTV. He's not going to do that. He's not going to go to an app that might work sometimes and other times doesn't work. He's not going to go to a substandard look. There's times where I watch the Pac-12 network and I'm looking at it saying, who in their right mind is paying for this? Because it's not just how the game is presented. What game was it they were at? It was the ASU-UCLA game. And they're doing their pre- and post-game show out front of the stadium. There's like five people jumping around. This is not College Game Day that ESPN has put together. So it just feels like we're at a glorified high school game the way that they are presenting the product. Can it be fixed? Sure it can. Sure it can. We've sat here for 7 years and done recruiting and done stuff around college football. We're talking about U of A hiring a running back today. Is that going to show up, a running back coach, is that going to show up anywhere on the Pac-12 network today other than on their bottom line? No. Instead, we're going to see the 1986 Rose Bowl again and again and again. And we're going to see U of A with Keith Smith at quarterback against Oregon again. And we're going to see it shot where there's wings on the side, meaning it's not in HD, it's just black on the sides. So really, we become the History Channel. You're not getting the big people involved. You're just not. Goody at the Movies is next. Now, because you know what's going on in the world of sports, it is the start of a new year, and that means that Bill has seen movies, actually. AZ Central, Gannett, Chief Film, Media Critic Bill Goody. But politics is more important. He's seen a couple of movies, we understand. Today, the House elects new speaker as Dems take control is on the bottom line of CNN right now. I'm sure you're watching this even as we speak. Yeah?
I was, but now I'm walking out into the backyard.
Oh, that's
realizing
nice.
That I have some cleaning up to do.
That's nice. Did you have a good bowl season? Did you have a good New Year's and bowl season, Bill?
I personally had an excellent season. I'm not sure college football so far has had such a great season.
Yeah.
Bowl season.
Did you?
Ratings are down, and I think there's a big reason. I mean, why would you have the semifinals or whatever you want to call them on Saturday night and then a bunch of bowls on New Year's Day? I mean, they don't mean anything. Who cares? Sure, if you're a Central Florida alum or whatever, I mean, maybe you care a little bit. My dad worked at Virginia Tech, and I lived 8 miles away. And Virginia Tech, because of my dad, basically paid my college tuition. I woke up, and there was Virginia Tech playing football. And I used to love Tech football. And I was like, why do I care? I mean, we're just waiting for the national championship. I think it's kind of screwed up. I think they need to fix some stuff.
Did you even pay attention to the Fiesta Bowl this year, to your point?
Well, I did because I was cleaning my living room, and it was
that's a reason.
And the TV's there. And it was a good game. I mean, you can't complain. I mean, the game itself was fine. Mm-hmm. It just didn't mean anything. I'll say this for you: I used to know. Now, granted, I used to work in sports, and certainly I knew then. But even after that, I always knew who was playing the Fiesta Bowl. I knew sort of where it fit in the larger bowl scheme. And, you know, and I knew when the teams arrived and all that stuff. And I honestly, I was like, oh, yeah, that's his plan. I'd totally forgotten. Although I will take any opportunity I can to hear Joe, the LSU coach, speak.
Yeah.
I think he should be a voice actor for Disney or somebody.
Ed Orgeron is the best football coach ever. If he was here... And I like hearing Herm speak. I do, but Ed Orgeron just speaks football coach, big gruff, gets to the point. Teddy bear, I guess when you break it down. But to your point on the bowl game, so I was going over this earlier. Phoenix did not register in the top 10 for the Fiesta Bowl in terms of viewership. This is not a surprise. Okay, number one was New Orleans. Number two was Birmingham. Number three was Orlando. Number seven was Atlanta. Greensville was number four. So it's all in the South. I get it. But why in Phoenix should we care about this bowl game anymore? They've gotten away from the local people, all caught up in the look at how great our bowl is nationally. It got 8.5 million viewers, Bill, the Fiesta Bowl did. The Rose Bowl got 16, so almost double the audience. And time of day, 11 in the morning on New Year's.
Sure. Well, I don't know. I mean, they've sort of fallen out of the mix of the, you know, when the thing was rotating, we got the national championship every, whatever it was, 3 years or whatever. I mean, that was exciting. Even if it wasn't your year, it was a way to build towards it. You know what I mean?
Correct.
It's here. You know, next year it's here. How many stories did you see with that headline? You know, next year it's here. And that's always exciting. This, I don't know nothing about nothing, particularly when it comes to business and money. But I'm not joking about that. But this is what I was thinking about, just even with my kids. I know why they play it where they play it now. I know why they don't play it at Sundell Stadium anymore. I know it's not the... You know, the marquee venue that I don't know if I suppose it once was, but there was something cool about going to downtown Tempe and seeing all those jerseys and sweatshirts and stuff from the two schools.
Yep.
That were there, and maybe that goes on over, you know, into Westgate or whatever. I don't. Maybe it does. Maybe it doesn't. I don't know because I'm not going to drive that far to see.
Right.
You know, it isn't worth my while. But there's just something about a college town with college fans in it that I think is really exciting. And they're fired up. They're yelling at each other 3 days in advance. I think that helps.
I agree with you. I actually went up to the snow. I went to El Capitan and climbed and had a DVR. So I went, walked around the mountains in the snow and took the dog, my wife, and my son and got home and watched it back at 9 o'clock that night. I had no interest in going to Glendale, 58 miles from my home, at New Year's morning at 11 a.m. So, you know, call me a bad sports guy or just call me smart. You went and saw two movies. So let's start with Vice. How was Vice? What was this about?
I really liked it. It's Adam McKay's movie about Dick Cheney, and I don't know if you remember Adam McKay. He's one of these, you know, Will Ferrell guys. They are partners, and they did Funny or Die together. And he, for a long time, he did these sort of goofy comedies, like the Will Ferrell type things. But now, he did a movie a couple years ago called The Big Short, which was, yep, I thought, really good. And it explained the financial crisis of 2018, but it was funny. It was kind of surreal. I mean, they would stop in the middle, and Selena Gomez would explain to you what, like, housing bonds were, you know, or something. And he takes not quite that bizarre, not bizarre, but not that quite nutty an approach to this, to Dick Cheney and how Dick Cheney became so powerful and ended up kind of running the Bush administration in a lot of ways. And Christian Bale is Dick Cheney, and, man, it's amazing. It's stunning. Some of it's makeup, but boy, it's a great performance. But a lot of great performances in it. Amy Adams is Lynn Cheney, his wife. She's fantastic. Steve Carell is Donald Rumsfeld, and he you know, a great role for him. And my favorite actor, Sam Rockwell, plays George W. Bush, and he's a little goofier than Josh Brolin was in W, but not much. He doesn't go too far with it. I thought that he was good. Some people have not liked this, and they said, oh, you don't get to know enough about, you know, the real Dick Cheney or whatever. I didn't have that problem at all. I just thought it was entertaining. Is it absolute 100% fact? No. And it doesn't have to be. It's not a documentary. That's not the mark of a good or bad movie. Mm-hmm. That a fictional movie is how accurate it is. It can be how accurate, how close does it get to the real truth? I mean, I think that's more important. The sort of spirit of the truth. And you get that often, you know, and a lot of conservatives hated it. And if it was a movie about, you know, I don't know, Hillary Clinton and
right,
if people took liberals, all the liberals would hate it. You know, I mean, it's that's just the way it goes. That also, by the way, is no mark of quality. How many partisan people don't like it, you know?
I really
liked it.
How do you handle that part of reviewing a movie when you know that half of the audience has a political leaning one way, so it doesn't matter how the movie is put together, they're going to hate it. They're not going to give it a chance here in 2019. They're just not. How do you handle that when you review it? And if it is in your political leanings, I know you well enough that you're not going to let that influence how you review a movie. I do believe that.
Yeah, I don't care what they think. I mean, I don't mean that sounds arrogant or dismissive or anything, but I mean, I got to kind of decide for my own. That's true for any movie, by the way. I mean, but
when it comes to politics, it's a different deal, Bill. When it's politics,
of course,
it's a different deal.
People are going to dismiss it. The thing, particularly with political movies or any kind of any real partisan issue, even if it's not straight up politics, even if it's something that has political leanings, people are going to dismiss it without seeing it.
Right.
They're going to say,
yep,
you know, you get a lot of those emails and phone calls that say, this movie's terrible. I'm not going to go see it. And it's like, well, your line of progression here isn't quite what it needs to be. You can't worry about it because they're not talking about the movie when they're talking about things. And I'm not sure what it is that they expect a movie to be, other than that they're used to these sort of Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, Tucker Carlson, right, entertainment programs where they say exactly what they want to hear. They never challenge them. They just preach to the choir, and they're happy to be the choir. And I think that's what they want out of these movies. And no matter what, if you're liberal or conservative, that should not be what you want. You should want to be challenged. You should want, you know. Who wants to watch 2 hours of something you know already, you know?
No, you and I are right there on it. Okay, if Beale Street could talk, how is this movie?
That's better. That's a great movie. It's a movie based on a James Baldwin novel, and it's Barry Jenkins who directed Moonlight, which won the Oscar for Best Picture, not La La Land, as everyone may recall. Barry Jenkins directs it, and it's great. It's sort of a romance, but it's also very timely. It's about this couple that are in love in 1970s New York, and he is accused of a crime he did not commit. And it's sort of about their families and his fiance trying to get him out of jail, as you have flashbacks of how they met and how all these things. And it's just fantastic. It's great. I really hope people will go to see it. I don't kid myself that a whole lot of people will, but I really hope they do.
No, it looks really good. It looks like both movies are date night movies. So
Yeah, different kind of dates, but
right. You're going to find out they want to have a second date with you.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Get back in and watch on the vote. I appreciate your time. Thanks. Happy New Year.
All right. There's Happy New Year.
There's Goody at the movies in his backyard. He's got to go clean up the living room while he's watching football. I get to know so much about Bill every week. That's what's great. So if you've not seen the TV show this week, last night it had its first four airings, and this morning it had a couple of more on Fox Sports Arizona, the Brad Sussmat Football AZ show. So Devin Henry is our chairman of the board. Devin came on about 3 months ago, and it wasn't easy bringing Devin on board. There were many times we thought about punching his ticket and kicking him. No, we didn't. Now, Devin's got a real passion for sportive speed in NASCAR. That's his deal. It's like when you guys have gotten to know Eric through the years, you know that college football is what drives him. NASCAR is what drives Devin, and he's got other interests too, but Devin put together a piece tying in football and NASCAR that's really good. It's also up on the website. You can go over to the website and check it out at sports360az.com. That is our show for today. Tonight, Eric's going to you're going to the GCU Utah Valley game over at GCU tonight because...
I'm working on a story about a local player that now plays for Utah Valley.
Cool. So. I'm thinking of going to ASU Utah, but I'm thinking I'm not going to go. I'm thinking I'm going to watch the Pac-12 Network and just...
Oh, you have really, it?
I am the one down in South Tucson is how you put it, or Southern New Mexico is how you...
Do you think they'd be open to simulcasting those games on like the Longhorn Network? Because I do get that, which makes perfect sense since we're not in the South, we're in the Southwest.
You know what should happen? Okay, this is all business and serious sense, but you know how... All the Fox Sportses have been, Fox Sports Arizona, all the Fox Sports Regionals have been sold to Disney, I believe. And that's supposed to get sold. Pac-12 should just go to them and say, Fox Sports Arizona, you can carry the Pac-12 network.
That'd be great.
This is not that difficult.
Because Fox Sports Arizona has like three sub-channels. Yeah, so if there's a Coyote game or a Suns game or something, they could just pop ASU on FSN AZ2 or
Yeah. No,
whatever.
I mean, I'm sure if I sat with Brian Hogan, their general manager, he'd say, no, we can't do that. But I'm always of the mindset that things can be done. You just have to move the decimal point. That's how you get things done in the world of broadcast. But it's not that hard, and these regionals have just been sold. So. But you also have to have better content and better talent on the air. You just do. And talent that people know. That is our show today. Eric, as always, is the Senior Executive Vice President of Nothing or Everything. Did a great job putting the show together today, and thanks again to Devin Henry. Have yourself a great day.